It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning at Columbia Church. I have not often been here, but I can say that every time I have been here that it has been wonderful. The Lord has been gracious unto this people here at Columbia Church. As a lot of you I don't know. I've not seen many of you before. Many of you I have. And I want you to know that those that I have, that I've come to know and to love you. Those that don't know me, I live now in Annandale, Virginia, over between Bethel Church and Washington Church. My home church is in South Mississippi in the Amet Association. I am in the military. I'm stationed here, assigned to the Pentagon. And I've been here in this area since 79. There's a passage of scripture I'm looking for this morning. I beg an interest in your prayers. I stand before you. No man can declare God unto you or Jesus Christ as Son unless he has the enabling spirit of God our Father that's in heaven. I appreciate the thoughts and the prayer of the dear brother that went before us. He was very adamant to point out a separation between the children of God and the things of this world. You know something, Brother Troutner, that's something we ought to always be about. There's a thought that's on my mind this morning. I don't know how it will prosper, but I am certain of one thing, that if the Lord is in the matter, it will prosper. It's in the 9th chapter of the book of Zechariah in the 12th verse. I'd like to read it to you in your hearing at this time. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. Precious children of God, we have heard set forth in this scripture by the mouth of the prophet Zechariah, who incidentally spake in the last days of the captivity of the children of Israel, of Jerusalem, the Jews, and the half tribe of Benjamin that were in captivity at Babylon. Here he declares the coming of the church of God, and exactly who would occupy that place. And he looks forward and points to something. He refers to two places in this text that I've read in your hearing this morning. He refers to one by the name of Zion, and he refers to the other by the name of Greece. I want you to know that the first one is a spiritual place that you can not lay a physical hand upon, and that the sons of Greece under consideration here this morning have become a lot of the problems of us in the world today. In order to set out the contrast that he expresses here, I'd like to back up a little bit and go back to the Garden of Eden. There, precious children of God, we find that the Lord God planted a garden on the east of Eden, and there he put all of the good things, all of the trees that support life in this world. And one of those was called a tree of knowledge. And there was another one there that we found out a little later about, called a tree of life. And he told a man and woman that he made with his own hands when he put them in that Garden of Eden, you can eat of all the trees of this garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, precious children of God, we already know the story, and I don't want to belabor it here, how that the devil came along and he made one simple statement, thou shalt not surely die. And he deceived the woman with that statement. The man, not being deceived, knowing what he was about, chose to go under the curse of that law for his bride, for Eve, the mother of all mankind. Now, precious children of God, we set forth there a tree of knowledge. And I want you to know something, that we in this world today still look back and go to a tree of knowledge while we live here in this world. And I want you to know something, that the roots of that tree that is in our society today has its very roots in essence in the philosophers and the education of the city-states of Greece, where Jesus Christ, where Paul and Jesus Christ walked. Upon the day that Jesus Christ came into the world, there was one language that was common to all of the Middle East, all of the nations around the Mediterranean Sea, and that language was Greek. And precious children of God, not before that time, nor since that time, could the children of God, these apostles that he sent forth, have crossed all of those borders in peace and have the blessings of the law of the land, and nor would they be a common language by which they could communicate with the people that they came to visit. Now, precious children of God, you'll hear man tell you today, why didn't he come in this time so that we could use all of these modern instruments of communications to get his message abroad? Well, I want you to know something, precious children of God. The Lord God, as Daniel recorded it, he said, I'll cut a stone out of the mountain by the hands of God, and it'll grow, brother, and fill all of the earth. He doesn't need any communications. He had the stage set, and his son came forth at his appointed time. And yes, Brother Tillman, he died upon Calvary's cross for your sins and for mine. Now, these prisoners of hope, the one thing that I want you to hold on to this morning, that we want to point out and remember always, is that there is a stronghold in this world for the child of God. Now let's go back to that division that he talked about. He referred to the sons of Zion, that he was going to exalt them against the sons of Greece. Precious children of God, the sons of Greece, do you remember the sermon that Paul faced under the sons of Greece? He came upon Mars Hill that morning and he preached unto them. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that they called that particular group of philosophers Stoics. You know, we can have Stoics in our midst today, and Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, everybody kind of has to fragment. And they're back over in the corner and said, we better than those folks over there. You know, we've got all these denominations in the land today. You know, they had denominations when Jesus Christ came. When Malachi, the last prophet, wrote, he referred to them as Jews, as Israelites. But then we find Matthew start to write, and he's writing about the children of God in this world, and he writes about Pharisees and Sadducees and this type. And that. They had denominations, didn't they, Brother Trotman? They've divided themselves up. And look how they looked at each other. Now remember, I'm talking about the chosen of Israel, the children of God that he set apart in this world and brought by a mighty hand out of Egypt's land. They were set apart. And the Pharisees, you know, they had something about them. I've heard Brother Gary talk about it many. You know, the Pharisees, they just thought they was better than everybody else. Let's don't set ourselves up as Pharisees, precious children of God. Let's remember that the Lord God has set forth a stronghold in this world, and he's made it secure unto us. You remember what the prophet Isaiah wrote, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord, cry ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, tell her that her warfare is accomplished, that she has received pardon for all of her that all of her iniquities has been pardoned, that she has received the Lord double for all of her sins. Precious children of God, Jerusalem has accomplished her warfare, and she set forth in this world as a stronghold, as Zion on the top of a mountain. The Lord God has established it, and not man. Precious children of God, there is one element that is of Zion. It is the sons of the living God. It is them that worship Him in truth and in spirit. And in this world today, exactly as this prophet spoke, before the nation Greece was even in existence, there's another group. And we're all guilty of it. That we look to the towers of learning in this world for all of our strength and all of our being, our precious children of God. We look back to the tree of knowledge exactly the way that Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Now don't misunderstand me. When it comes to education, I believe in it and I support it. Not many men that you'll meet have been to college longer than I have. Plenty of them better educated than I am. Don't misunderstand the two things. My father encouraged me as a child. He said, go to school, son. It'll mean that you'll have a good job later in life. But let me tell you something. He made that subjective to another thought. He told me about something else. It was about a stronghold, a satisfied God in this world. And I want you to know something. My father doesn't read the Bible that much. He can't read too well. He enjoys it. He's got two sons, me and my brother Randy. And it so happened that both of us were ordained elders in the old church. And we talked to Dad about the Bible. And tears come down his eyes. Let me remind you of a passage of Scripture. In the 48th Psalm, it says, go around Zion, walk ye around Zion, tell ye of the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks. So what? And declare it unto the generation following, precious children of God. Look at the commandment that the psalmist gave. Walk around Zion. Tell you the towers thereof. Tell everyone about the high places of Zion. The stronghold that God has set in this world. Mark ye well her bulwark, her defenses. And there's another one. I left that one. I quoted it. Tell everyone of the palaces thereof. Remember them? Towers and bulwarks and passages of the stronghold that God has established in this world. It's different from the world. You remember what He told the apostles? You're not of the world. I have chosen you out of the world. If you were of the world, then the world would not hate you, precious children of God. I want you to understand something. You are all prisoners of hope, made so by God. You are all of Jerusalem, pardoned of your iniquities, received double for all your sins. How did we receive double, Brother Jim? How did you receive double? Received of God, it says. Received double. Did you get them, Brother Paul? I don't think you got the stripes. That by His stripes are we healed. Precious children of God, look at the iniquity bear by our Christ. It's our Christ, I can call Him that. Because God sent Him into this world for His people. I came to this to my own. My own received it not. You remember, they came into the lost sheep of the house of Israel, our precious children of God. He received double at the hands of God for all of our sins. And we are separated in this world and set apart this prophet before the nation even existed. I look forward to the sons of Greece, my admonition unto you this morning. I cry comfortably unto you, our precious children, that God has set forth the rest in this world whereby we may it down, and He has separated it from the world by His mighty hand. And if this separation is the church of God, and then it's got towers on it, you can get way up high and look out over a vast land blessed by the hand of God. And it's got defenses around about that thing. It's got strong walls. You know, God told Jerusalem one time in captivity, He says, I'll bring you back from all the places where I've scattered you. And I'll put you in Jerusalem. And I'll be as a wall of fire all the way around about you. Precious children, that's a stronghold that we've got in the world today. A stronghold established by God. You know, if you want to understand the stronghold,
You know, we talk about two covenants. You ever hear, you know, the old Baptists, they the best about talking about two covenants. You ever heard them talk? You ever stop to think what they were, Brother Odell? Two covenants. That's two agreements or two different ways that the Lord God in time, in this world, has dealt with his people. Both of them, the Bible said, was an everlasting covenant. That's right, they were established by God. God's word can never be changed. Precious children of God, under the first covenant, as they came out of the land of Egypt, there was a type and shadow of the stronghold that I'm talking to you about today was formed there in the wilderness. He told him how to build a tabernacle of the congregation, how to build a tabernacle that had in it a holy place and a most holy place where there was a veil between the two. And then if you look at it from the outside, this is what it looked like. You know, you could take it and it'd be like a fence all the way around someone's yard. And that fence would be 50 cubits on one side. About 75 feet, 50 cubits. It's a foot and a half to a cubit. 75 feet on one side, 150 feet on this side. It's like a rectangle, and they erect the curtains like a fence all the way around this thing. Now, precious children of God, if you look at it, it's two squares. They just kind of meet together like that with a fence all the way around. In the center of one of those squares, they've got the tabernacle of the covenant. And in that thing, it's square also. There's the outer place, the holy place, and the inner place, the most holy place. In the center of one square, in the center of the other square, there's an altar where it's offered up sacrifices unto God. In between the two, right on the dividing line, there's a laver, a place for washing hands. Now, we all know what's inside of that holy place, the Ark of the Covenant, the Aaron's rod that budded, the pot that contained the golden manna. Don't want to belabor that. But I want you to look outside of it. Okay, here it is. A sanctuary. A place to worship God that's got all of the instrumentalities that pick up and point to the coming of Christ. Paul said, if they had what? A sanctuary, a worldly sanctuary, in ordinances of divine service. Talking about what they had under the law. And implying that we had the same thing. A stronghold established in this world. For the sons of Zion, not the sons of education. You remember what Paul said? Look at your calling, brethren. Not many what? Not many wise men of this world. Not many prudent are called. Not of this world, but of God. Now go back and look at this. This tabernacle established in the wilderness. You get a good picture. I'm going to get out of the brother's way. Get a good picture of the stronghold. Okay? On the east side. Looking where? Towards the way they're traveling. Again, count three tribes of Israel. Three tribes. At the head of that tribe, and each if you count, you'll find 13 tribes in this little example. Well, I'll explain to you what I'm talking about. Remember, we're talking about the stronghold of God. And what I'm doing now is going back under that law to pick up a type and shadow to show you. You know, if we obey the commandments, we tell about the high towers and about the bulwark and about the palaces in this stronghold. And we tell it to our children, the generation following us in the church. On the east side, there encamped three tribes. That was Judah. And Issachar and Zebulun. And the head of those three was Judah. And on the south side, there was Reuben. Simeon and Gad. The head of those three was Reuben. And on the east side, there were three tribes. And there was Ephraim and Manasseh and Benjamin. Ephraim and Manasseh were sons of Joseph. The head of that group was Ephraim on the west side. And on the north side you had Dan and Asher and Naphtali. See the three tribes? You done counted 12 and I ain't even got to Levi. Okay? Levi was inside. This is the outer circle around the tabernacle of God in the wilderness. Okay? The strongholds, the bulwarks on the outside were God's people. In the inner sanctum. What was in there? That was God, wasn't it? He said, I'll speak to thee from the Ark of the Covenant. Now, precious children, one more ring existed before you got to that tabernacle I just told you about. It was the sons of Levi. They were Gershon, Merari, and Kohath. three sides, the Kohath on the south, Merari on the north, and Gershon on the west side, and precious children of God on the east side, between the tribe of Judah and Issachar and Zebulun, there was Moses and Aaron and all of their descendants and in the camp. And when they picked it up and started to move and head towards Canaan land, in the first rank was the tribe of Judah, and in the head of the whole column was the standard of Judah. Now, you know about Judah. Let me read you something. Thus, I'm going to back up to the 8th chapter of the book of Zechariah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of, out of all languages of the nation, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. That's the 8th chapter, the 23rd verse. We'll go with you because we've heard that God is with you. And take hold of who? Of him that is a Jew. Do you know what the word Jew means? Jew means of Judah. Now look, precious children of God, the prophet Zechariah says that in the future, in those days, in some time to come, that 10 men out of every nation, 10 kindred and tongue, but go grab a hold of the skirt of someone and follow him and say, we're doing this because we have heard that God is with you. I maintain they did it because they saw it too, Brother Paul, and a lot of other adjectives that I can't think of. They knew. Now, remember who was the head of the column as they traveled towards Canaan's land? It was Judah. Now go back and hear Jacob, whose name was called Israel. Bless his son. He said, from you, Judas, and no lawgiver shall come from thee until Shiloh be come. What was he talking about? Shiloh. He was talking about Jesus Christ. From Judah sprang Jesus Christ in the wilderness. The church of God, the stronghold, followed the standard of Judah in the world today. We've got a church established on a chief cornerstone that is laid for us. Where? In Zion. In Zion. What did the prophet say? Ye sons of Zion. A chief cornerstone laid for us in Zion. Who do we follow in this world? We follow Jesus Christ our Lord. Who did they follow there? They followed the standard of Judah. Now look at the towers and the bulwarks, and I'm going to sit down. Precious children of God, the towers, the high places of God. What are they? They are heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Precious children of God, what are bulwarks in this world? Are they not also heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Okay. What are the palaces in this church? Are they not also heavenly places in Christ Jesus? How are they manifested to us? You see these strong armies around the church of God. Remember what Peter said? Built up as lively stones into a tabernacle. Therein you offer spiritual gifts, spiritual sacrifices, all acceptable unto God. Look at the type and shadow, the stronghold that we've got in the world. They had it in the wilderness. They had it in Canaan's land. And precious children of God, we got it in the world today. You remember, let me see if I can find it right quick. In the book of Hebrews, there's one little passage I want to read and I want to sit down. Remember that we're talking about strongholds. In the 8th chapter, I'll read the first 2 verses. Okay? We're talking about a stronghold in this world established by God and not man. I've tried to show it to you in the scripture. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the song. We have such a high priest. You know, in this tabernacle in the wilderness, they had a high priest that once a year took the blood of the sacrifice and went into the most holy of holies and offered it there as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Now, precious children, the writer says, we have such a high sacrifice. The head of all things, he wrote in another place, is Christ Jesus our Lord. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the thrones of the majesty in heaven. Now here's a little description of him and what he's doing. Now, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. God bless you.